sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And to my left is Becky Ivins. How are you doing this morning, Becky?
Good morning. In the words of Ron Shalhoub, I'm having fun. We always try to come up with something different than, oh, I'm fine or I'm okay.
More than I'm good, I'm great, I'm having fun. It's a bright Saturday morning.
Did anybody see the sunrise today?
I did.
Was that fabulous or what?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was the biggest sun I've seen in a very long time.
I think there's something like after the time change, today's the first day of spring. It feels like, okay, it's here. We're ready.
I'm shaking my head going, that sun does not know anything about daylight savings time.
It does. It comes. It becomes brighter, warmer. I love it.
I'm not a fan of daylight savings time. I say change your clock. Take some responsibility. Get up an hour earlier if you want to. So, today we're talking about something kind of we get a lot of calls into our office from investors wanting to invest in rental property or flips. And there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to talk about this from several different perspectives. The first one is going to be, what would be the questions that Ron Shalhoub, our attorney, would ask an investor that comes into the office? Then we're going to touch on, well, how's insurance different? How is financing different? And then how about the fix-up of rental property compared to your own home? How is that different? So we've got some different experts calling in today. So, Ron, what would you, if someone came into your office and you were a realtor or an attorney, as you are, what would you ask? What would be the questions that you would ask someone that wants to become an investor?
Well, at first I'd tell them good morning, like I'm telling you, good morning,
good
Becky.
Morning,
good morning,
Ron.
Good morning, Ron.
Good to be here. If someone came in to me as a lawyer and said they wanted to get into investment, rental property, my first question is very broad. It's what's your plan? What do you think you're getting into to find out what their goals and expectations are, to find out what assets they have available, not only financial, but their personal talents, tools, things of that nature. Then get down to a little bit of specifics with what they're asking about. Are they thinking about buying a house and then just renting a house, or maybe the garage apartment that they've got at the house they just bought? Or are they looking at a multifamily like a duplex or a quadplex, something of that nature? Is it something that is turnkey, ready to be rented immediately, or is it going to be a fixer-upper? So you'd want to find out, well, what are your personal talents? Can you hammer a nail? Do you know how to do plumbing? Do you have some idea of how heating and air conditioning works? Just to find out where they're at from a practical perspective. Can they repair things? Do they have stuff to repair? Back when I was doing plumbing work in my prior life, I ran around with a lot of builders. And a lot of builders would build apartments because they had tools to repair and to build them. And they also had spare lumber and extra faucet or valves or copper back then to put into it. So they're able to repair and to fix those things, whereas if you don't have any of that, you'd have to figure out how to pay for that and who to contact, get a good plumber, things of that nature. So you get that, and then I would ask that they would read the Oklahoma Residential Landlord Tenant Act so they know what they're getting into, what their responsibilities would be as a landlord, and even read articles about the act because sometimes, as we've mentioned the last couple of weeks, the act has some statements in it that are maybe a little bit vague and, okay, so what are my responsibilities? I would suggest that they get a good CPA, a good insurance agent, and good legal counsel, what they're talking to me, that kind of satisfies the third one, and get a good rental agreement. figure out what do they want in a lease agreement and put something together that's good, not just something you get online or at a office supply store. Then are they going to manage it themselves, or are they going to hire a management company? You're going to have those kind of contracts to get into, and then insurance. So that seems like a lot, but that's what you would go over at the initial discussion, just to talk about the overall structure of investing into rental.
Well, and when you talk about the what's your plan, are you buying an investment property that needs repair that for a flip for an immediate sale afterwards, or are you buying it to hold long-term as a rental property? And when you say a CPA, there are tax consequences to both of those. So knowing your plan is important.
Well, and also realizing as to whether you're buying it to rent your kid, the one who's moving out or hopefully moving out, so you've got to buy him a house to get him out of your house. Or or are you going to rent it out to the general public, to people that you know or people that you don't know? Because all three of those have different aspects to it.
Right. And, you know, renting to relatives is a treacherous path to go down, because they sometimes can be unrealistic about the speed of repairs. Like this last ice storm and snowstorm we had, I mean, some people thought that the landlord should have to fix the broken pipe the same day that it broke. And the fact is, there were so many broken pipes. We've got a lot of plumbers in the area, but not that many that could fix all those pipes right away.
Well, that gets you into what are your own talents. Do you have the ability to fix a copper line that just broke in one spot, put a shark bite on it, and fix it? Or do you have to call somebody in because you have no idea of the difference between copper and steel pipe? But you also need to be aware of the Fair Housing Act, as well as if you're going to look into renting to someone you don't know, can you check their credit? So you need to know about the Fair Credit Reporting Act as well. You need to be aware that they exist.
Right.
And then delve into them a little bit and find out what you can and can't do.
Right. And how do you screen prospective tenants? That's probably going to be another whole show rather than – we love to work with investors, by the way. We work with a lot of investors, finding them great deals. One of the things when you're buying investment property, though, is insurance. How – is the insurance the same as a homeowner's policy? Most folks are unaware that it's totally different. We have on the phone with us Brad Russell, who is my personal insurance guy, State Farm Insurance. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Becky. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm doing just having fun today, right? And do you want to address the fact about the difference between homeowner's insurance policy and a rental insurance policy?
Sure. It's fairly simple, but there are some significant differences. Like you said, the homeowner's policy, we basically are covering everything, not just the dwelling, but all the extensions, all the personal property inside the house. Any type of loss situation, you've got loss of use. There's so much coverages that are you also have on the rental dwelling policy, but there's some major differences. For example, on a homeowner's, if you have a roof claim, our policies with State Farm are 100% replacement cost policies, which means that if that roof is 10, 15, 20 years old, we're going to put a new roof on it for just your deductible if you have a 100% replacement policy. Now, you can go below that. We do offer an ACV, which is actual cash value homeowner's policy. But when people look at the price difference between the two, they generally will always go with 100% because they want to make sure that we're going to pay for everything outside of the deductible for that house. Now, where that's different from a rental dwelling is all of our policies, new business, they are actual cash value on the roof. In other words, it's a depreciated amount. So they would have to pay their deductible and any depreciation on that roof. Now, you can get on a rental dwelling, you can get replacement cost, but the only way to get full replacement cost on a roof is to have an impact-resistant roof put on a rental dwelling. Once you do that, say if you had a claim, and we work with a lot of good roofers like Robbins, and I know that you're familiar with them, Becky.
Certainly.
If they put an impact-resistant roof on there, then you automatically will get replacement cost on the roof, plus it will decrease the amount of insurance that you have to pay your premium on that. On the homeowners, when you do an impact-resistant roof, it actually reduces the homeowner's premium by up to 30%, which
Brad,
is a huge discount.
I'll tell you what, we're up against a break, but if you'll hang on, I want to ask you a couple more questions right after this on
Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. And like a good neighbor, Brad Russell is there. Brad Russell, our State Farm agent, is on the line with us. And we're continuing the conversation, Becky, with Brad about insurance when it comes to investment property.
Right. And we covered kind of the roof is a little bit different from investment property rentals as opposed to, a homeowner's policy. But there is also another major difference. And that would be content coverage, right, Brad?
Yes, exactly. On a homeowner's, all of our policies, we estimate about 75% of coverage A, which is the dwelling, is what you have in personal property. It's just a formula that we use. On a rental dwelling, you're only covering as the owner of the home. You're only going to be covering the personal property that is used, for example, for maintenance, or it could be a built-in washer and dryer or a washer and dryer or maybe some equipment like that that's personal that you own that you're leaving in the house and you're renting that property. That is covered, but it's only going to be a 5% of the dwelling cost as far as the premium goes. So it's a good thing because most people generally when they do a rental dwelling, they don't leave a whole lot of their own personal property in there. Maybe some maintenance. If you're doing maintenance, if you've got a garage, you can store that in there. That would definitely be covered. And like I say, some equipment that you have in the house already, refrigerator that's yours personally or washer and dryer, it would cover things like that. But it reduces the amount of coverage that you have to buy for personal property because that would be covered under the actual renter's policy for whoever you rent the property to.
So the tenant needs to buy a renter's policy that will cover the tenant's belongings, right?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
And then go ahead.
I was going to say, and generally, well, it depends. A lot of our customers will require them not just to buy personal property coverage, but also liability coverage.
That was my next question, is you need liability coverage as a landlord and you need it as a tenant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you're doing some maintenance in that property as the landlord and you cause damage or to any worker gets hurt that you hired out or contractor or something like that, you need that liability side on yours. But they need it for any guest or anybody that gets hurt that visits the house because that's on them.
Hey, Brad, let me ask you, what if as a landlord you're providing a furnished apartment, furnished home, would the policy be different in that case?
It could be. You would own that property, would have to increase the amount of the property, and you can increase that amount of property up to 15% of the dwelling. So you can buy additional property, but it is, it's an endorsement that we have to do if you're going to do a furnished apartment and lease it out.
And in my experience, if you, have a furnished apartment, it usually is not the top notch stuff, the furnishings in it.
Right.
Brad, thank you so much. There's a lot to know about this. If you have a question about, whether you really want to be an investor, you can give us a call here at the station at 840-1000. It's 840-1000. And
NMLS number 196-895.
We're here with our money man, Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. How are you doing this morning, Dean?
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So we are talking about investment homes and wondering if people want to get into investments, the questions they should be asking, and when it comes to a mortgage and lending, what's the difference?
Well, some of it is risk. And so most lenders, we included, we all sell predominantly to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. So they kind of stipulate the risk assessments that go along with buying a home, whether it be a primary residence or an investment property. So, you know, primary residence, 5% down is your norm minimum, whereas a rental property investment purchase, you're looking at a 20% down payment. Think about risk when I say that is if you're buying a one unit, 20% down is the norm. But then you call me back and say, no, I found a two unit. Well, Mark, that down payment risk now goes to, probably a 25% down. So as the units increase, a one unit versus a two unit, in Fannie's eyes, that risk increases, which is why the down payment becomes an increasing number. The second thing that people need to get their hands around is interest rates on a rental property compared to a primary home are going to be higher, again, back to that risk comment. So if I said, today someone's calling, wants to buy a home, it's going to be their primary residence, their rate is probably 3.25% today. If they call me back and say, no, Dean, I'm buying a one-unit, non-owner-occupied property, that rate's probably going to be a 3.75%, 3.875%, strictly by virtue of it being a rental property.
It's a higher risk for the investor, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
For the lender.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. And then if there's also points to pay on investment loans, right?
So there are, which ties into risk. And so, someone could keep a rate comparable to a primary. I'm not going to say the same, but maybe a 3.5 and pay a point or 2 points. Why are they doing that, or why does it apply? It's because it's an investment property. So the points can be what I call premium priced into the loan, which means you're elevating the rate to not have the points, or B, keeping the rate in the game and pay the points, which obviously is a cash flow question. And stuff like that we get into with clients. What's your mission? What's your plan? What's your cash flow situation? Because that's what it's all about.
So the biggest misunderstanding that I hear from new investors is that loan amount or that down payment percentage, that they think they can do a 5% or a 10% down,
right?
And that just doesn't exist. You have to have,
right,
20% down minimum. Now, what if, and the other part of a lot of first-time investors, they start looking at duplexes, buy one, buy both, live in one side, rent the other side.
Uh-oh.
How is that? Is that different if they do that when it comes to a loan?
Absolutely. And that's a home run, Mark, because if you do have those people who are going to live in, one of the two sides, then at that point, basically, that falls within FHA's umbrella as an owner-occupied.
And VA.
And VA, too. So what you see is they can step in at a FHA pricing rate-wise of 3.125%, 3% as an owner-occupied, but yet the second half is income-producing. So that's a great investment, as you guys know, if you can find them.
Okay. Another thing that on qualification that folks are usually very surprised at is if you have four rental properties that rent, you get $1,000 a month rent out of each of them, and your payment on those is $750 a month.
Right.
They're very surprised that they have no cash flow. in those properties because they see $1,000 a month, you know, 250 times four. But they get kind of surprised that you count 75% of rental income as you give them credit for only 75%, right?
Correct. And what it is, I mean, one or two ways to do that, Becky, is if they've got the history with the tax returns, then, you know, we can use the tax returns to drive that income.
Well,
if not, then it's a 25%
right
factor, which is what Fannie Mae defines that to be.
Yep, and we'll be back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins team, and we are here talking about investment property. Right before the break, we finished up with Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. And if you are thinking about, can you afford an investment property, give him a call, 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. Or go to BeckyIvins.com and click on Becky's Favorites. And all of the everybody there is everybody we're talking to is on there.
And if you want an expert insurance guy, call Brad Russell. Brad knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he's not going to oversell you. He often suggests things to me that would save premium money. And his number is 947-2812. 947-2812.
947-2812.
There you go.
There we are. We got to contact Brad. And if you're going to get into investment, you better have a insurance person that you trust.
And what do you always tell me, Ron, when I say, well, how can I protect myself?
Get insurance.
There you go. I've memorized those two words, get insurance. So Brad Russell has become a friend, so that's great. Well, we're talking about investment property versus homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you do differently so far as fixing them up? One of the things that gets the most wear and tear in a house is the flooring, right? Especially
Absolutely.
Rental property because yep. – The rental property people move in and out more often than homeowners do.
Furniture's moving,
the dragging of appliances, mm-hmm. and it gets pretty rough. So we've called in our expert, who is Bonnie Miller with Miller's Floor Store. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, Becky. How are you all?
Well, we're having fun up here today. We feel like we're spreading a little bit of knowledge around and having fun at the same time.
Well, good deal.
So,
I like your subject. We have a lot of people coming in, and when they walk in the store and they're asking about, oh, we need a carpet for a little rental property. It's like, okay. And it's just like Brad was saying, you have to find out all the details on what they are expecting and what are they wanting to do with their rental properties as far as long term or who's going to be living in it. A lot of people have family members that are going to be living in the homes, and so then they pick out a little bit differently than they would if they're just going to have rental people in the homes. So yes, carpeting is a big issue. The quality changes from rental to residential as far as, you know, who's going to be living in it. And then the flooring in the kitchens, like you were saying, dragging furniture, appliances, that type of thing makes a lot of difference. We're using a lot of LVT, which is luxury vinyl tile or plank flooring that looks like wood but wears wonderfully. So, yes, that's a big subject in our store.
Do you know, last Saturday, I spent a lot of time showing rental property. I've got some family members, actually three different family members, that are kind of like one's a grandchild and others are like nephews and nieces that are looking for rental property. So I've been in the rental market a lot just helping folks out. I'm not going to get rich renting property, trust me. But the thing is, they tended to like the properties that had the hard surface flooring throughout. They were just naturally drawn to that as tenants. And one of them rented one that was a hardwood floor all the way through older property near the Paseo area. And then the other one rented one that was more toward West Oklahoma City. And it had all, well, it had some tile, some like ceramic tile. But they floated the floor so that the vinyl plank went right up to and was level with the ceramic tile that was in the entry, at the exit at the back of the house and toward the bathrooms, you know, but vinyl tile all the way through. And that's what drew both of them to the properties is the flooring. So,
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And a lot of times people like the carpet in the bedrooms.
Yes, we see that a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they'll come in after they purchased something and now they're going to fix it up, right?
Right.
So they ask our opinion as far as what do you think about putting the LVT in the living room and hallways, or should we put it throughout the house? And it's like, well, it's you know, it depends on how much you're wanting to invest right off the bat.
Right.
That's one question. And usually what I'll do is I'll give them a couple of bids. One to do it with the vinyl all the way through. One to do it with the vinyl through the living room and kitchen and hallway, and then the bedrooms and the carpet. So when you walk in the store, you and I come out and measure, I can give you a variety of different figures to work with. That way it's not so overwhelming, because that a lot of times that, you know, if they just ask, oh, we want it all the way throughout, and I give them one bid, I may not see them again, because that'll shock you, because the initial investment is quite a bit more than putting carpet in, but the long-term investment, when they have a different renter come in, they only have to replace maybe the bedrooms or, you know, something like that. It's more minimal as far as your replacement down the road.
And, you know, that tile, the luxury vinyl tile, which usually comes in planks, and maybe it comes in squares now, too. But that was initially used in the Safeway stores in the entryways where they put the shopping carts. And people come and go through there. The shopping carts come and go. It gets mud. It gets ice. It gets wet. And if you happen to go into a store, a grocery store, look at where they put their shopping carts and what kind of flooring it is. If you see vinyl plank, you know that it's a hard to damage surface right there.
Yeah, that's correct.
Bonnie Miller from Miller's Floor Store, one last word from you.
Have a great day and come see us. We'd be glad to help you.
Okay, they're on Northwest 10th, by the way, near Ann Arbor. So in between Meridian and Ann Arbor.
Yes.
Meridian and MacArthur.
You can give them a call at 946-0711 or millerfloorstore.com.
There you go. 946-0711.
Yeah. I love those luxury vinyl. I mean, I can't tell you how often we walk in and go, now, is that wood or is that?
Yeah.
No?
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, the
well,
color and the quality vinyl, and it holds up and it's.
And the vinyl, things don't really break as easily when you drop them, too.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. Of course, you can gouge vinyl. I mean, there's goods and bads to all of it. So,
so with that, you know, we're finding that a lot of first-time home buyers, a lot of are wanting that hard surface throughout the home. I'm finding that a lot, especially with they have pets.
It's a clean look too.
Yeah.
Besides being just easy to maintain, it's a clean look, and the cleaner look is getting to be more important, but it's the longevity of it for rental property that you want.
Yes, absolutely.
So based on my limited experience this last week,
yeah,
we really have, they definitely prefer hard surface flooring.
Well, things going wrong, I think, may take us to our word of the day.
Oh.
Come on, baby, tell me what's the word of?
Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 728-3700. So we go from the floor to the roof over our things that are important in for investment property. And our word of the day is...
I wish people could see this on TV to see Becky dancing during that World of Day movement music. It is so good to see. She's rocking out here. Oh, our word of the day. Well, actually, it's a phrase. It's a two-word phrase, security deposit.
Ah.
Security deposit. And you may think, well, that's really easy. And to an extent, it is easy. What is it? Well, it's an amount of money that a landlord can demand prior to the lease term to secure performance under the terms of the lease. And that security deposit under the Residential Landlord-Tenant Act is for damages occurring during the lease term. So there can be a reasonable amount there. But under the Act, the landlord has an obligation not to just take that money and go to Casa Perico and spend it all, but instead they have to put it into an escrow account federally insured, and to maintain it, keep it in the state of Oklahoma, and not misappropriate it.
And you know, folks are really they misunderstand this a lot. They think only licensed real estate professionals have to use an escrow or trust account to hold the security deposit. That is not the case. Read the Landlord-Tenant Act.
Misappropriation of the fund is a misdemeanor. It is a crime, and
yeah,
you can be prosecuted for it. And at the end of the lease term, the tenant can make a written demand within 6 months for the unused portion. You have to account for it, and you have to account for it and return it within 30 days. And if there are deductions, you've got to show what those deductions were for and that they're appropriate under the Act. So it's very important that if you're getting into this, that you're aware of all the ramifications of what you're getting into, what you can do, but what you also are required to do as a landlord or as an owner. So security deposit.
That's our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing. Give them a call at 728-3700, 728-3700.
Now, we've mentioned the Landlord-Tenant Act and with all of this. And if you have missed the last 2 weeks where we talked about that from the landlord and the tenant, go to BeckyIvins.com, click on radio. You can go back and listen to the podcast, or anywhere that you subscribe to podcasts, just type in Becky Ivins in Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We'll pop up and you can subscribe there. And we'll be back with more right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking about investment property.
Okay, we've got about 5 minutes left, Ron.
Well, and Becky, I'm going to have to, as your legal counsel, encourage people not to go knocking on other people's doors.
Oh.
No. She didn't say to go do that, so don't
go
do that.
No, I did not. Did not. I discouraged that. Thank you.
Don't go do that.
So we're here, Ron Shalhot, our attorney. We're talking about investment, and Ron, we just have a few minutes, and you always have kind of a list of here's the things we need to keep top of mind.
Well, one of the things that we didn't cover, but you also have to think about in your plan, is how are you going to own this property? Are you going to own it as Mark Carr, an individual, or is it going to be in a partnership? Are you going to set up a business entity like a limited liability company or a corporation to hold it? You have to think about that as well, because that can affect a lot of the finances and a lot of the liability aspects. You have to set up a business structure, file individual types of tax returns with business entities. So you're going to have to then get your CPA involved in all that to make sure you understand how all of that works.
It does limit your liability, though, when you set it up under a business entity. There's a little bit of protection there under the law.
It can be, but not as much as some people will think, because if you're the person that put the booby trap by the front door, you're still going to be the person that's going to be looked at as being responsible, even if you've got it into an LLC. So you have to be careful thinking that's going to prevent all kinds of liability for me. It doesn't prevent every piece of liability. That's where you need legal counsel to talk about. We talked about the Oklahoma Residential Landlord Tenant Act. Becky, how do we find that?
Well, there's several ways to find it, and you've got the best way to find it, which is the app on the phone, right?
Well, one way to find it is get an application on your phone from the OBA Young Adult Guide. That's great for you. It's great to tell your kids, grandkids who know more about smartphones, iPhones, whatever, and get that app on your phone because that's going to have a lot of that information on it.
And that's OBA as in Oklahoma Bar Association,
yes.
Young Adult Guide.
Young Adult Guide, right.
Okay.
Look at your app store.
Another way to find it is to go to you can just Google it. Oklahoma Landlord-Tenant Act. The one thing to keep in mind, though, is if you get it from the Bar Association, Oklahoma Bar Association, or you get it from the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission, you know you're going to get the latest version of that, and it does change from time to time. And the latest version's the 2019 version right now.
And with the Oklahoma Bar Association, you can get the entire act itself and read it, which is great to do, or they have pamphlets or disclosure statements that talk about what are your rights as a landlord, what are your rights as a tenant. They quote from the act itself.
Well, we've had a very interesting show today. I think it's had a lot of content. So if you want to be an investor, we will guide you towards some of these experts to help you with your investment. But we love to show investment property because that is one way of building wealth. If you're careful and do all the process up front, right?
It is, and that is a really important part. But you have to have a game plan, and then started with where we started with today with Ron, where he would ask, what do you want the outcome to be?
Right.
What is it you wanted this to happen?
Yeah. Do you know, next week, you guys get your shoes on and get out of your house because the Oklahoma Home and Outdoor Living Show is next weekend. If you want to have free tickets to that, you call my office this week, 722-3232, 722-3232. I do have, I believe, 10 or 12 tickets to give away. Oklahoma Home and Outdoor Living Show. Now, the Home and Garden Show is going to be in May this year. Everything got delayed just a little bit so that everyone can get their vaccinations. Thank you for staying tuned today and listening to us.
And if you want to get a hold of anyone we've talked to today, go to BeckyIvins.com. Click on Becky's Favorites. It's been a great show, Becky. Thanks, Ron Shalhot. And you will be back next week with Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.